Welcome to Life by Design. On this podcast, we explore ideas on self-improvement and living with intention, amongst other things. My name is Otto Abasi-Basi, and I am honored to be your host. In my early teens, I became obsessed with personal development as a path to growth, success, and happiness. Today, I am a full-stack creative and entrepreneur, using my skills to help people and businesses live up to their potential. And my passion for self-development is still going strong, albeit more nuanced. And now I share what I learned as I build a life by design. If there was an overarching theme to all that I do, it would be the art of being, the act of creating, and the space in between. I have always been interested in how we live, how we create, and how those two things interact with and inform each other. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and thank you for listening. Well, hello there, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the Wednesday Ramble Show, where we just talk free flow about the contents of the week. And this week I have for you breaking down the last podcast called Counting the Cost and breaking down this week's blog post, which is Cultivating the Mind of an Artist. And before I get started, I want to say I hope you're doing well and I hope your week is going great. I hope you're being super, super productive and intentional and moving steadily towards your goals and ambitions and intentions for your life. And without further ado, let me get into it. And I'm well too. I'm good. I'm great. It's been a great string of weeks, generally speaking, hoping I can keep the streak going for as long as possible. But I'm great. I'm good. Cannot complain at all. Happy to be here doing this, chatting to you and, you know, making content. So without further ado, let me get right into it. So we're going to start first with counting the cost. And yeah, this was still early in the series, How to Get What You Want, that I was writing back in 2018, a year that it was the first time I've said this a bunch of times already, first time I was blogging and writing every week consistently for like the whole year and all that. And this was one of the insights that came to mind a few years back. And I think I mentioned it in the post, it was around 2015, a time when I just come off the last actual job I've had. I was working with friends at the time, and we were setting up this business. It was kind of an agency of sorts, creative business. Doing a whole bunch of things, and it was such an intense, crazy time, and went well in some respects, had quite a bunch of great opportunities, interesting projects, interesting things we did, but ultimately wasn't quite working and ended up just dissolving. But something I figured out and something I learned, or like dawned on me in that area of time, was the idea of like counting the cost, right? You know, because I'm thinking and I'm exploring this idea. Okay, like how do you actually get what you want? What do you need to have in place to be able to, you know, first of all, know yourself well enough to know what you want, and then be able to pursue that. And if you're able to identify what you want, you have to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to get it? I think sometimes, and for a myriad of factors, we might feel entitled to getting a thing just because we want it. You know, sometimes seeing people like, hey, what do you want in a partner? And then you're going to mention all these great things you want. And then, you know, when you ask, what are you bringing to the table or what would make you a great partner? They don't quite have as much to say, but that is, you know, that is the cost you got to count. Okay, who do I got to be with the person I want to be with, for instance? You know, but just pulling back, it's like you have to know the cost of what you want and decide if you're willing to pay that price or not. Sure enough, there are people who take shortcuts and cheat and lie and steal their way into things, you know, but in that way you generate bad karma, and eventually like it all resolves out, you know, at the end of the day in one way or the other. No one ever really fully escapes their karma. So if you're looking at what you want, you have to think about, okay, like I said, count the cost. Like 1 + 1 must equal 2. And why, and I say it so many times in the post and the recording, 1 + 1 = 2, because that's essentially what it is. It's like, listen, if you're going to look at what you do, you have to figure out, like, what are the logical mechanics of making this thing happen? You know, it is great to have big dreams, and it is okay to pursue dreams that you have no idea how you would achieve, right? But you've got to approximate things to what you think realistically can happen. And sure, yeah, holding, you know, intention, respecting the law of attraction can make almost magical things happen for you. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to show up ready. You're going to have to be prepared and be skilled enough and be able to deliver and do whatever it takes to get what you want. Like, all those things must be in place, you know, at the end of the day. To move an intention from being just a dream or a wishful thing to actually being a proper goal that you're pursuing, you have to decide, this is the price and I'm going to pay it, you know. Look at that distance between where you are now and where you're trying to go, and figure out, how am I going to cross that gap? How am I going to become a better person? How am I going to become the person that deserves the thing that they want? So if you want to make more money, then you're trying to figure out, what do I have to do to deserve to make more money? Like, how can I give more value? How can I, you know, associate with better customers or better clients? How can I, you know, improve what I do? How can I serve more people? Whatever it is, but you've got to figure out the real mechanics of making that happen and then making that happen. You know, it's not going to happen by wishful thinking, by just, you know, mantras and prayer and all of that. And all those things are super important and super great, but it's got to be backed up with a clear estimation of what needs to be done and making sure that you are paying the price that needs to be done. You know, are you spending the time working on your business and not just in your business? Are you spending the time and efforts and, you know, resources to build a good team around you? Are you spending the time to actually be organized? Are you spending the time to actually do the work? Are you learning and respectful of all the factors? Sometimes you might have like a really great idea, a really good idea, but just like the reality of the situation, right? Like, Robert Greene says, you gotta get a feel for the lay of the land, right? You gotta understand who the players are. You know, sometimes, you know, we play in a world with other people, and people are messed up, you know, and people are great. People are everything. And you gotta account for all those things. You gotta account for, there's gonna be someone that's gonna try to cheat me, or there's gonna be someone who's, you know, try to block me, or may, you know, want me to grease the wheel, or, you know, I might need to get buy-in from all these people. Maybe I can't do it this way. Maybe I have to do it the other way. But, you know, it's coupling your ambition with, you know, with realism and with just a respect for what is actually happening in the environment that you're playing in and in the world around you, and making sure that you are doing what needs to be done. And if one way is close to you, then you, you know, go around the corner, you know. You take the long way around, you take the shortcut, you know, or you make your own way, or you do it in, you know, but whatever it is, you've got to like really, really get clear on what's going on and figure out what to do. You've got to pay that price. 1 + 1 = 2. We've got to move away from delusional, hopeful, wishful thinking. A great quote that I like is, hope is not a strategy. Just so powerful, right? And I forget the full quote now, because the full thing is really, really awesome. But hope is not a strategy. Like, it just speaks so profoundly to me, because like as an entrepreneur, as a freelancer, someone doing his own thing, it is very easy to just live off hope. You know, like, I hope something will work out. I hope something will happen. You know, someone is going to call, or an opportunity is going to arise. And sometimes, like I said, those things happen. Law of attraction is a real thing. But you got to count the cost too and be like, well, I want to do this thing. How can I stack the odds in my favor? 1 + 1 = 2. If I make sure I have 10 sales calls every week, at least I'm going to sell one or two or three different people. If I refine my pitch and I work on my selling skills, maybe I can even bump that up. If I keep working at this for a couple of months, a couple of years, maybe I can actually make some real money. Like, you know, decode the logic of your situation. And you can also look like at your business, be like, okay, listen, is this going to work? Maybe I'm in an oversaturated market. I thought I was going to start up this thing and make this amount of money, but it's not working. The math isn't mathing. The things are not coming together. You know, you've got to be very clear and decide, okay, listen, how do we circumvent this issue? How do we go around? How do we fix it? Do we pivot? Do we go somewhere else? Do we do something else? All of that. But you've got to be clear. You've got to always get down to the bare bones and actual mechanics. What's actually happening here? What's the logic of getting what I need to get done? You know, I always look at like the human race and just how crazy we are, like the stuff that we've made. Like you just look at huge machines, or like the way a car is set up, or a rocket, or a, you know, a huge building or a stadium. It's like we build these things, and if you look at it, none of those things came together by magic. Every single thing that exists in the world has existed because people have, you know, all the steps had to happen. You know, the book that you read, someone had to write that, someone had to proofread that, someone had to finance the deal, someone had to, you know, it had to be printed, it had to be published, it had to be, you know, put on trucks and delivered to the different places. You had to walk to the store, you had to pick it up, you had to buy it. You know, 1 + 1 = 2 throughout the whole equation. Things happen to make the things happen. The phone you use, you know, like someone, a team had to design it, you know, deals had to be made to finance it. It had to be manufactured. It had to be put together. It had to be boxed up, distributed, sold, put in your hand. The software had to work. That had to be coded. That had to be built. Like everything in the world had to be made. You have to respect just the granular, actual work thing, physical interaction of things that need to happen for things to happen. And the truth is, you've got what it takes to get what you want, but it might take all you've got, and you've got to be willing to put in the effort. You've got to be willing to go all the way. You've got to be willing to turn pro, like I said a few weeks ago. You know, that's why I think about it. And for me personally, like, sure, there's things I want to do, and I'm not always willing to pay the price, but like if I want it, if I say I really want it, I have to. I have to take the plunge. I have to do the thing. I have to plug the holes. I have to face my fear. I have to stretch myself. It's the only way it will happen. Otherwise, I can just continue getting what I've always gotten. But to get something new, you have to do something different. To get what you want, you have to pay the cost. So think about like the thing you want and what it is you're trying to achieve in your life, and ask yourself, like, what would it take to get this done? Am I willing to do what it takes to get this done? And am I doing what it needs to get this done? And if you can answer yes to all of that, then good, you know, kudos, man. You're on your way, and eventually you'll get what you want. So yeah, I think that's enough I'll say, like, about that, I guess. And also that, like, you know, the cost also comes in a little bit of subtraction. So you've also got to subtract, like, the stuff that isn't working, you know, like people or habits or actions or patterns or whatever it is. You've sometimes, many times, got to drop something to pick up something else. And you've got to factor that into the equation, right? Everything comes in opportunity cost. The time you're going to spend working is the time you would have spent partying or chilling or doing whatever. But now this is the time you spend working because you got to do what you got to do. So yeah, that's about that. The next thing I'll talk about is cultivating the mind of an artist, which is what I wrote about this week, which is something I've been thinking about on and off years now, for a long time. So I work in the creative space, work in the creative industry. I do design, graphic design, brand strategies, web development, that sort of stuff. I help businesses essentially articulate who they are, you know, present that properly in a well-crafted brand, and, you know, be positioned to do what they want to do in the world with all the tools and brand tools and, you know, things that they need, you know, getting them a website, getting them, you know, good CI, all that stuff, all that great stuff. So I genuinely like design and create almost every single day. And with the advent of content and all the stuff I'm doing in that space as well, now I'm always making something. The problem is it can feel very mechanical sometimes, right? Because, you know, I've done this for a while. I know the shortcuts. I have a set way of working. You know, it's almost instinctual and habitual. And that foundation is great. But, you know, you can fall into the habit of, you can fall into a rut and end up just designing the same thing over and over again and not really growing. And that doesn't seem fun to me or fulfilling. I like the idea of continual improvement. I like the idea of devoting yourself to a field and becoming so good at it over years. And that was one of the reasons, I guess, I chose design as a path, because I figured I could be doing this like when I'm 70, 80, 90 still, you know. The greatest artists and creatives and architects and designers, you know, they push to old age, man. They don't stop. And that appeals to me, the idea of just being better and better for creator. You know, so there's the idea of longevity in a creative field as well, which is very easy, you know, to lose, to get jaded, to get stuck in your ways. There are very few artists that like stay at the top of their game for decades at a time. We see it in rap, for instance, right? There, for every Jay-Z, for every Kanye just dropped his 10th studio album and, you know, 10 number ones. You know, how many, 16 years now, however many years, that's longevity, you know. For every one of those, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who only did it for a week, a month, a few years, whatever, right? But to have that kind of longevity takes an approach, right, to creativity and to the craft that most people may not want to embrace or appreciate, right? You've got to be willing to reinvent yourself. You've got to be willing to keep trying out new things, keep stretching the muscle, keep being creative, keep trying new things. And if you want to, like, if you're a creative, and even if you're not a creative, I feel like it's important to have some form of creativity in your life or whatever. But, like, I guess I'm talking mostly to the creatives here, but there's something for everyone in it, right? You know, the idea of cultivating creativity in your life and just, you know, opening up the ideas and the connections that are open to you. Because creativity is about combining and connecting things, right? That usually have no business being connected, but that is the crux of creativity, of pulling ideas from different ways to make something new, to make something fresh, to innovate. And if you want to do that, you have to have like things in your life that help to cultivate the idea of creativity, the habit of creativity, the technique of creativity, and all of those things. And I've started to think about that a little bit more. And I picked up this book the other day called Brief Lessons in Creativity by Frances Amber. It's a little yellow, really nicely designed book, really short read. But it inspired me again by highlighting these different like techniques and ideas and mindsets and, you know, exercises you could do to really inject fresh creativity and thinking into your work. And, you know, there are a bunch of ideas, and I share that in the post. So one of the first things that I said was, you know, begin from anywhere. So if you haven't been creative in a while, it can feel quite daunting because, you know, like maybe you're rusty, or maybe you just don't have the skill, or it's scary, right? Like the blank page can be very, very intimidating. But you just start. Just start. Just do something, you know. Make a mess, take a piece of paper, scribble, you know, write, you know, just dump your brain onto a page if you're a writer, you know, record random melodies, mess around, just do something. You know, think of it as a warm-up, you know. It will shake out the cobwebs from your mind, from your creative mind. It will limber up your stiff muscles, get you ready, and get you back in the groove. So I just get started doing something creative. So like today, for instance, before I started my evening of content creation and planning the week and all of that, because I'm doing this on Sunday, you know, I picked up I had the sketch pad for a long time. I bought like a couple of weeks ago, and it's just been sitting there. And I just opened it, and I just did this exercise where I basically had to scribble and fill the entire page without lifting up my pencil. And I did this exercise and I wasn't drawing anything in particular. And it's just literally a page of scribbles. But, you know, doing that put me in a nice meditative state, gave me something to do with my hands, inspired me to say, nah, man, just draw something random every day. It doesn't have to be good. Doesn't have to make sense. But like get back into the medium of, you know, pencil and paper, for instance, just to explore a new way of being creative, because I spend all my time on the computer and, you know, so begin from anywhere, just do anything. And I don't know what my, I guess, artistic practice would evolve to over time, but I'm looking forward to that, just to inject in more creativity. And it's important to me as well. Like I've been on this journey over the past few weeks and I've discussed it, upgrading my space, really being, you know, really curating and really being intentional about the way things are placed, the way I set up the workspace and all of that. And something I've always wanted to do is to bring in more art, you know, bring in more, you know, drawing, painting, just experimental stuff, and, you know, playing in more mediums than one. So really, really looking forward to that. The other idea, again, from this book was follow your curiosity, right? So like figure out like what interests you. Like make the time to just dive into something you're interested in. Like not for work or not as research or something. Like just because you're interested in it, just go for it. Spend an hour, two or three, and just dive into something. It could be anything as mundane as knitting to as random and outlandish as, you know, UFOs and medieval weaponry. Like whatever it is, like your interests are your interests. Indulge them. You know, because you'll find things, right? You'll find interesting things, good things, bad things, disgusting things, great things, you know, but it will fill your tank with like new ideas and references. It will shake things up and maybe give you things you can pull from. The other thing I want to do is make space. And I've spoken at length about this in many blog posts, in many podcasts, about the fact that you got to protect creative space. You got to have a time that's just yours to make. You got to have a time and a place that's dedicated and sacred onto that, because you need a place to make your art and a space to support that art, right? You need to make that place the way you need it to be. Some artists work in studios that are completely bare. Some artists need to be surrounded by all their references and all their work and all that stuff. And it's up to you to like, however you want to do it, but like make dedicated space for the art. Another idea is to like curate a cabinet of curiosities, which means collect stuff. So cabinets of curiosities were like, I should have done my research before I started doing this, but if I remember correctly, they're like the precursors to museums. And like rich people would have these cabinets in their houses with like different things, whether it was like a fossil or a piece of art or something from their travels. It was a way to like showcase, you know, cool cultural things they had got. But like taking a page from that book, and it's like, you know, we always come across things, and if you're an artist, you probably are always looking around the world and picking up random things, a shell here, a rock, a postcard, a magazine, something random that like spoke to you or was interesting to you. And, you know, it's good to collect those things, not to the point of being a hoarder and just having a whole bunch of random stuff. I mean, whatever works for you really at the end of the day. But I think it's cool to like have like stuff that's just cool that you found that speak to that curiosity, that speak to that part of you. And you know, you just do that, because you know you're only as good as your references at the end of the day. You're only as good as like what you're referring to. And so it's so important to like be in the habit of collecting stuff. And it doesn't even have to be physical, though physical is great, but even like digitally, right? Like with Pinterest, I use Pinterest a lot, and I just have boards and boards of cool stuff and in cool different like, you know, categories and stuff. And it's just there. Like sometimes I refer back to it for work, or, you know, if I'm like space now, for instance, you know, working on my space, I'm looking a lot at, you know, what people do with their workspaces and studios and all that stuff, and getting a lot of references and things. But just, you know, I have a board on like 80s psychedelic sci-fi book design, just because I thought it was, I just think it's cool, and I might use it for a creative project down the line, who knows. But we'll see. But like, curate your cabinet of curiosities and stuff you find fun, and have that as a storehouse, a common place book, so to speak, a reference point for like stuff you can draw from and work from. Another thing you want to do is like actively experiment, right? So you want to try new things. Sometimes what I do in my work is not follow the. I have a process of how I, you know, best practices, how to like design a logo, how to design a website, how to do all those things, for instance. You know, but sometimes it's just fun to just break the rules, like start from the opposite end, you know, just start from a different launching point or use a different medium. Maybe instead of, I've started doing this lately, like instead of jumping directly into, you know, Illustrator to start designing, I would, you know, break out the pad and pencil first, and I would, you know, just do a bunch of that. And that would, you know, sometimes it's just redrawing stuff I've seen. Sometimes it's redrawing, like drawing stuff from my mind and just trying out new ideas. But the different medium is a different form of creation, and it just unlocks new ways of looking and solving the problem. And I'd like to think it adds something to the design process as well. You know, just push the boundaries of like what you create and how you create it, and, you know, allow that to open up new avenues at the end of the day. And the final thing I'll share, there were a bunch of ideas and stuff, but I think the six will work for now. Another thing was to travel. You know, like it could be as simple as just take a walk around your neighborhood and explore and see what's going on around you. Or, you know, go to another city or go to another continent. The break in places and exposure to new spaces really does break up monotony. I know it's something I need to do more. I'm like very much a homebody. But when I do travel and when I do force myself to get out, it is quite invigorating to return and just return fresh or just rejuvenated or with new ideas, new inspiration, and ready to go. And so travel or movement, you know, through space is a very, very important aspect of being a creative. Many artists and poets and writers have sworn by taking walks. So just even the physical practice of walking, of exercising, of moving your body also helps your creativity. So those are just a few ideas I learned from this book and I thought I'd share. And I'm also experimenting and trying to bring these, like I said, into my life and just be more creative, just bring in more depth to what I do across the board, and set the foundation for other things. Something I want to do from next year is to explore more creative and experimental projects that are not necessarily monetized, not client-based, just like stuff I think is cool and stuff I want to make, maybe to help me, you know, learn a new software, learn a new technique, learn whatever. I just think it's cool, and that's what I'm going to do. And the great thing about that, it would definitely like just open up new avenues as far as what I do already and really impact that in like fresh ways, like with new ideas and opportunities. So really, really looking forward to that. So yeah, that's about it for this podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope you gained something in this entire almost 30-minute rant. But in summary, count the cost, know what you want to do, you know, count the legit cost of getting it done and commit to paying that price, and bring in some creativity in your life. Learn to look and interact with the world as an artist. One of the great benefits it gives, as opposed, in addition to like increasing and ultimately, you know, cultivating your creativity, is it really does bring into a deeper space of being, because the act of creating, you know, the act of making art forces you to really like look at the world, forces you to really be in the moment. You know, it's a very meditative, there's a lot of self-inquiry. It's a deeply personal and therapeutic and spiritual experience. And I recommend it for anyone. And hopefully these ideas help you to bring in a bit more of that artist into your life and, you know, just help you be a more rich and well-rounded individual. And with that, you know, hope the rest of your week goes great. Thanks for listening. If you like this, please share to someone who you think will enjoy it. Feel free to check out my websites and all that other stuff. And till next week, stay awesome. I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you want more, feel free to check out other episodes on the podcast. Or, you know, check out my website as well, otobasibasi.com. That's otobasibasei.com. There's hundreds of blog posts on there. I've got playlists on there, as well as, you know, video interviews and books that I wrote as well. You know, so just check out what I'm into, check out what I do. And there's probably something in there that will give you value as well. Once again, thank you for listening, and I'll check you on the next episode.